Today on the Retro Zoo Super Show.
Live from Kakariko Village. Throughout the Retroverse, transmitted to the real world via a maze of wires connecting the Super Nintendo to a Wii, to a Wi-Fi network, and finally to the Internet, the Techno Punk Boy presents the Retro Zoo Super Show. Now here are your hosts, Kai and Steven.
Welcome to the Retro Zoo Super Show. I am one of your hosts, Kai.
And I'm Steven.
Hey man, how's it going?
Pretty good, dude. How are you?
I'm doing all right.
Just want to thank you for waiting for to do this episode for me.
I was excited about it. You were so excited, and then I was like all ready to go, and then you're like, I can't make it. And I'm like, well, fine, I'll talk about Trent Reznor all by myself.
I'm glad you didn't. Not that I'm a huge Trent Reznor buff, but I mean, I like his music, and I especially like what we're going to talk about. So,
yeah. So, yeah, we've decided to change our format to '90s music podcast.
Yeah.
I think next week is going to be Stone Temple Pilots.
No, please.
Fine, I'll do that one by myself. I can do that one in my sleep. Oh goodness. So this is like if everything goes as planned this weekend, because there's one track that needs to be re-recorded, because there's a flaw in it and I don't like it. But if everything goes as planned, the new album will be out before next episode.
That would be sweet.
Yeah, I'm pretty pumped. I really think this is the best stuff we've ever done. And so I'm really happy with the way everything came out, except for that one single track. And so we're going to redo that.
I listened, you know, when I listened to the last episode of Dyson Drury. I don't know. Are we talking about Dyson Drury?
Yes, it's Dyson Drury soundtrack. For everybody who doesn't know, we're doing the soundtrack for Dyson Drury.
Right. When you say soundtrack, we're talking about the Dyson Drury soundtrack. Yeah, so.
This is the first album release of it, and it's really good. I hate to say that about our own music, but it's like seriously good.
Well, I really like the way you're, and I forgot to mention when I after I listened to the last episode of Dyson Drury, I forgot to tell you like how awesome the music had fit into the episode, and I
that was way too much work.
Well, you said that it was way too much work, but dude, it's like the Amish, right? Are the Amish the people that they polish and bevel corners that nobody will ever see because they know that God will see it? I can't remember. It's some religious sect that believes that like everything is seen, and so they work in every little detail, and even if it's not appreciated by everybody, but at the same time it is appreciated even if you don't know it. And it was kind of funny because when I was telling you how much I liked the episode, the last episode that was released, I think a lot of the reasons I liked it was because, well, first of all, the content, the actual story was amazing, but also the music went hand in hand with it. It's one of those things you don't notice as a younger person, like when you watch movies like Jurassic Park or any, like, you know, Schindler's List or all these movies that have, like, I'm only naming John Williams movies for some reason, but but it's like,
well, there might be a reason for that.
I'm comparing you to John Williams right now. No, come on. I don't want to blow too much smoke. But no, it's one of those things that it's, you know, you don't really notice the music sometimes because it fits so well with what's going on. And actually thinking back and listening back to some parts of it, like there was a part where, and I won't give away the plot for our listeners who haven't, but I think it's pretty benign. There is a part where they're looking at a tome and they see this character drawn in the tome and the music changes and it's kind of becomes this more like sacred type of music.
Yes.
And it's just like those little moments. It makes the whole show come that much more alive. And I really appreciated it. And to tie that in with what we're going to be talking about today, you know, the feeling of the music, the theme of the music, it plays such an immense part in the actual game, you know, when we're talking about gaming music. So kudos to you for nailing that on the head, or for all of us as a team at the Techno Funk Boy, since I was playing the piano. it turned out great, and your final editing and revisions and plugging it in there, it sounded amazing. So I was really impressed.
And this is one thing I think people who like are in our Discord and all know this, but like when we started recording it, I offered to do a theme song.
Yeah.
And then I was getting kind of excited. I'm like, look, I can do a battle scene song, and I can do, you know, like a town theme, and then I can do like a mystery theme, you know, and, you know, end up with like an EP of like four tunes. And that was my plan until actually this last episode. And the episode we're talking about is episode 15. And when we ended this episode, so we recorded 14 and 15 on the same night. And this was months ago. We're months, you know, ahead of in the recording process. But when we finished recording this episode, it was by far my favorite episode thus far. And I was really kind of excited and all like hyped up, and I couldn't go to sleep, and I just started thinking about, you know, it's like what would it sound like to actually score this episode. And I was just really pumped about it, and so like I was up and I was, you know, kind of making decisions about like I had this new interest in the game and the show, and I was like really pumped that this was going to be a really excellent show. And that's when I decided, okay, Techno Funk Boy is going to do the whole soundtrack, mostly because I want to do this episode. And it was such a cool episode because it goes from a very long chase, and the chase is one single piece. And then it goes into a more kind of sacred, ethereal scene, and it has that, and then it comes into the aftermath scene, which is very, very sad. And I got, you know, we got to do that too, and it was like everything, every kind of emotion that you want to do in an episode, you do. And so it was great.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. Yeah, it definitely showed. I mean, at least in the episode that and was it episode 15 you said, or 16? You're talking about the one
same one.
Okay. Yeah. It definitely showed, man. And it was just, it's, you know, you could tell when it's a work of love, you know, when somebody cares about what they're doing, it shows. Kudos. Good job.
And like you said, this is not unrelated to our topic, because this is actually a case where we had to get outside of our comfort zone. Because, you know, we do like Nintendo inspired, like mostly EDM stuff, you know, with great beats and just, you know, kind of fun poppy music. And when you're doing a soundtrack for a vampire story, there's not many dancing tunes. There actually is one dancing tune on the album, but that's it. And it's not even EDM. It's just old fashioned, you know, guitar and organ and stuff. But it really got us outside of our comfort zone. And we're actually going to be talking about a retro game soundtrack today, but definitely not one outside of a comfort zone.
Right.
I think that this particular game was absolutely made for Trent Reznor to do a soundtrack for. And it's just, we're of course talking about Quake, which was just this, I feel like in the long run, Doom definitely overshadowed Quake as...
What was the time frame? I thought Quake came after Doom.
It did. But Quake was quite a bit more advanced.
Right.
So, one thing about Doom that like a lot of people don't realize when they're playing Doom is not a 3D game. It is a 2D game.
Right.
And that confuses some people. And so, what we mean by that is there's a flat 2D map. And the walls are drawn up from that, but you're not in a rendered 3D environment. And the easy way to tell that is if there's an enemy above you and you shoot straight, you will hit the enemy above you, you know, because it's not reading 3D, it's reading 2D. And so it just says you're pointing your gun in the direction of the enemy, therefore you hit him. Quake was the first one to actually render 3D, and they're not at all unrelated. John Romero was behind Quake, and he was and John Carmack, and I mean the same team, right? That did Doom. There's just genius producers. But Quake was a huge step forward. And musically, it was massive. They decided, instead of having, you know, computer-rendered soundtrack, that they'd get Nine Inch Nails to play the soundtrack. And so... That's exactly what happened, and the way they did that, we're going to get into that a little bit. Wait.
Oh, I'm sorry. I was just going to ask you when did you first play Quake?
It wasn't new. This came out in June of '96. I probably played it in '97.
Yeah.
And I didn't have Doom. I actually got this for it might have been Christmas of '96, because I got it as a Christmas gift, I didn't play the Doom games. You know, I didn't own them. I played them, but I didn't own them. And so, Quake, I thought was just fantastic. And I played that game a lot. It was very cool. Were you playing it at the time, or did you play later?
No, it's funny because this was probably, so 96, that's like 2 years before StarCraft. So actually,
StarCraft.
This is my pre-StarCraft, years, and I was very young. Oh, wow. But I remember this being, because see, I don't really remember when Doom came out, and I had older brother and I watched a lot over shoulders, you know. We had a PC, but Quake was one of the first games I actually like took as my own. Like, I played it by myself, and it was probably the first, maybe aside from Heretic, which we also played a lot of Heretic, mm-hmm. and Hexen and all the expansions for the Heretic. Quake was, I think, the first game that I really got into by myself. First person shooter, and I remember, dude, I was just floored. I was scared to play it. I mean, it was like, it was a visceral reaction. And it's funny now to think back on it because as we'll talk about, I'm sure a little bit, well, we can mention it now. It's just the Quake CD had what is it, 12 tracks or 13 tracks.
Yeah.
One
yeah.
of the tracks was dedicated for the game.
The yeah, that's track one, you yeah. know, two through whatever, it was an audio CD that could be played in a CD player.
And dude, as a little kid who did not have access to rock and roll music or cool music because I was little and my parents, I wasn't going to Sam Goody and looking, you know, I was little, I was probably, I was younger at least. And I remember being just like, what? I didn't know about Nine Inch Nails. I didn't know who they were. But that first opening theme, it was.
Oh, let's play it.
Let's yeah. do it.
Let's play it.
Okay.
And this was like very, very unusual for the time period. You know, memory is still an issue in 96. You know, a lot of times you save actual real audio for like super important scenes. And the rest of the time you just kind of play through MIDI. But the way these guys got around that was splitting that CD between data and audio, and they in making an actual audio disc, they were able to actually put CD quality audio on. And what the game does is it registers, it's like, okay, this we've entered this level, CD-ROM, play track 4.
Okay, let me just say something about that, because I didn't know how that was working
at the time. I didn't either until I messed it up.
I remember being freaked out because every game I had ever played before, if the game was loading or something was happening in the game, you didn't hear music. If the game locked up, which used to be a common thing back in the day, is games locked up, right? Like the music would stop playing because the game was locked up. Not with Quake. It was like you when the game was messing up or something was going weird, you still listened to the music, and I was like, this game is possessing my PC. Like, I remember thinking that as a little kid, being like, this is the most intense game I've ever played. The music won't stop, but I don't want it to. I'm actually okay with it locking up.
Like, I know. Oh, man.
So I'm like banging my head, like, and the game's not working. And I'm like, yeah, this is the most rad music I've ever listened to.
Man, okay, so the way I figured that out is this was a game, this was the data size was small enough that you could save it on your hard drive, and I did so that I could play it straight off my desktop at the time. And basically my best CD player was my CD-ROM, because I got pretty good speakers because of music, you know. And my actual CD player was like really early, one of those really huge CD players they sold at the very beginning of the CD era, because they needed all that space for the innards. And it was a piece of junk. And so I was using that a lot. And so I had Sarah Brightman's Eden album in the CD-ROM. Now, for those who don't know, Sarah Brightman is one of those kind of pop opera singers. I think she became known because of Phantom of the Opera. Okay. And so I owned one of her CDs. I'm not ashamed to say I love her Eden CD. I think it's exceptional. But all of a sudden, I don't even notice it at first. I'm like storming through this place, just blowing up aliens. And then all of a sudden I realize it's playing like this pop opera stuff.
Oh, that's cool.
That's Sarah. It worked really nice. You know, it was just like, oh, poof, 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 poof. You know, it was great. But I was like, why is it playing Sarah Brightman? And it took me a minute to realize, oh, that's in there. And that's when I started realizing that this is an audio CD. The Quake disc is an audio CD. And it's just pulling track information. It's not hard coded into the game that, you know, we're playing this song. It's just saying, hey, play track 4. You know, this is the track for this level. And so you can mix and match your music.
That's awesome. Yeah,
Quickly, we should explain what's going on in this game.
It's a dark theme game. I mean, it's every, you know, all the tones are dark and it's very gritty. I mean, one of the early guns that you get is a nail gun. You're shooting nails at zombie type characters. I
love the nail gun.
And it's just so
satisfying. Just because it had that rapid fire on it, yeah, you know. Cool. I mean, it was a fully automatic nail gun. I love that thing.
Yeah, no, it's really intense game. I mean, you were talking about the 3D rendering. I mean, the first time you blow somebody to bits, like, it's just like chunks of body parts are flying everywhere, and you never saw that. You know, normally body parts, you know, it was one animation and the character would fall over dead, like in Doom. But here, it's like their body would bounce off a wall, and right, yeah. You know, you could get quad damage, which would like multiply your damage by 4. And so, you know, you would shoot somebody with a shotgun, like any character, and they would just blow into bits. And so the first characters you're fighting are like these zombie characters, but then you fight these ogres with chainsaws, and then you get to these big shamblers who are like shooting lightning. And it's just, the whole game is dark, intense. The music is adding this really like deep, guttural, like kind of. Just feeling to everything. Now, and we have to say, like, I think it should be mentioned that really only the first track would be track number 2 if you put the disc in your CD player. Yeah. But is a song. Everything else is ambient kind
of music. Keep in mind what you're hearing right now, and we're going to keep the soundtrack playing as we go. Yes, but what you're hearing right now, this is very much what you get in the game. It's rhythmic, but it's not really music. There's no tone here. It's ambient, it's industrial sound.
Industrial, it's
with
like
a rhythm to
like,
it.
Yeah, yeah, it's almost like there's machines of different tones working together to produce some quasi music kind of thing. But you know, another quick aside, because I'm excited, I'm getting ahead of myself and maybe saying too much, but that first track is called the Quake theme, but it's also, and I found this really interesting, also referred to as the Persia inversion, which is so cool, because like I don't know what that means, but it sounds awesome. And I tried to look it up. I was googling about it, like, why is it called, Google, tell me why the Quake theme is called the Persia inversion. But it sounds awesome, and I didn't know that. So apparently that is another name for the original theme, because gamers and people, like, it became popular in the community apparently, and people called it the Quake theme or the Persia inversion, which is pretty sweet.
Nice. Yeah.
So
Trent Reznor himself says, and I'm pulling this from Wikipedia, because this is the quality research you get. The soundtrack, quote, is not music. It's textures and ambiences and whirling machine noises and stuff. We tried to make the most sinister, depressive, scary, frightening kind of thing. It's been fun. And that's what it is. Okay, so Quake, like, okay, so Doom is, you're fighting demons. You've accidentally ordered, somebody's opened this portal to hell, right?
Right, right.
Quake is very similar, but it's a portal to aliens, essentially. And so that lets them get a much different look and vibe to it. Whereas Doom has, you know, kind of demonic imagery and fire. Quake is it's more dark, it's more industrial, and
light ends up being kind of the ultimate power in Quake, because you end up getting a lightning gun. I mean, you fight the shamblers, they have lightning. They're white, big creatures that are just enormous. You've never seen anything so big in a game before. And they shoot lightning, and it scares the poop out of you when you first fight them. But then you end up getting a lightning gun. And it's just like you feel like you're harnessing the power that these aliens had or whatever. I never really remember the plot of the game being explained. I never knew as a kid. I just
mattered. Knew I was fighting
some. But it was weird because there was a big difference between Doom and Quake. I mean, even though they're in the same vein of like terror first-person shooter gameplay, one of them is like, these are demons, you know, definitely demonic. You know, Doom is very, it's almost silly. Like they were trying to be silly even a little bit. You got the
feeling. Like, oh yeah, yeah. There's fun. It's silly. Very.
Quake is not like that. There's no. Yeah. It's not funny. Like it actually. I was young, but it scared me. And I'm I attribute a lot of that to the ambience, to the music, and to what Trittnor basically said. They were trying to add musical texture to the environment that just created an ambience of
right fear. Yeah, it's really misleading for those who have not played Doom to say that it's demonic. Mm-hmm. That the enemies are demons, but it's very much tongue-in-cheek,
yeah,
goofy. It's even humorous at times.
The remakes grasp the humor, you know.
Yeah,
the latest Doom games.
Yeah, but Quake was very much darker, and that's why it's made for Trent Reznor to come in. And for those who aren't familiar with Nine Inch Nails, we keep using Nine Inch Nails and Trent Reznor interchangeably. That's because they are. You
know? Yeah,
well, Trent is Nine Inch Nails, is Trent Reznor.
Yeah,
he had people who helped him in the Nine Inch Nails, but it's him.
It's he's the genius behind it, and he's actually an amazing, amazing artist. As much as, you know, I mean, yeah, he's gothy, kind of emo kind of character. You get that feeling from the music, but I have to say, Nine Inch Nails is their 90s stuff. I never really got into, like, I wasn't really into Pretty Hate Machine and all their albums. I mean, they were more like rock, you know, these just kind of traditional rock with more of an industrial feel music. But yeah. And it's funny that when I really got into Nine Inch Nails, when I really appreciated them, was The Fragile, which was a 2 CD set. And it actually, and if you haven't listened to it, dude, I'm going to recommend super highly, because I think the reason I latched onto it, I listened to it over and over and over again in my early 20s when I was going through some difficult times. Not that that was a good thing to listen to, but it pulls from, it's like listening to, imagine you had an entire 2-album set of Quake music. It's basically like that. And so it's way more ambient, industrial, and it doesn't feel like it needs to stick to, you know, the traditional 3-minute you know, rock song. It's my favorite Nine Inch Nails album, I think the reason it is because of Quake 1. It was funny because I feel like it took that long, because I think that was released in the late 90s, early 2000s, and it's a 2 CD set. Yeah, it's called The Fragile, and it's really amazing, and it has the same, like, it's like a whole track will be just ambient noises, but they have these kind of dark. You know, it's like what a young man, you know, kind of music he wants to listen to when he's going through all his troubles. Right.
And in the and I'm looking it up. The Fragile was the next album after they did Quake, because the Downward Spiral was 2 years before Quake.
Really?
Yeah, and then The Fragile was 99, so it was several years after Quake. But they I remember they had a long hiatus there. Part of which was spent doing this.
I've actually been listening to it recently on Spotify. I just got a new vehicle that has Bluetooth. I'm so excited. And so, like, I've been listening to, like, all these things. Nice. And I'd forgotten about that album that had been so important, you know, in a period of my life. And so I've been listening to The Fragile on my
computer. I'll have to check that out.
It's good, man. I mean, it's moody, you know. It's not, you know, if you need to pick me up, you know, I wouldn't suggest it. But if you're feeling
if you need to pick me up, this whole episode's going to be kind of a weird for you, because here we're like really excited about this soundtrack that's playing in the background and bringing you down.
Because episode,
how are they so happy when this is playing?
Yeah, next episode we're going to do the top 40s from the 90s episode.
Leaving on a sun train only. Sorry.
But that's actually going to get me down too. That's a sad song.
Oh, man. So, anyway. So, okay. So, one thing I just found out in researching this episode is that Trent voices Ranger, who's the hero of the story.
Really?
I did not know this. Yeah.
That's cool too.
So I mean, he was really tied in to the production of this.
I wonder how that happened. I mean, I feel like we're going to wonder, and we're not going to be able to tell our listeners, so maybe I shouldn't wonder about it too much. How did all this happen? Where was Trent Reznor sitting when somebody called and said, "Hey, Trent, we like your music. Do you want to be part of this new game we're making called Quake?"
He's like, "You know, Nana." And I didn't go too far into it. But I do know that, like, they just id Software, who was like, you know, those guys who were making like Doom and stuff, just really liked Nine Inch Nails, and Reznor just really liked like Doom. And so, it sounds like that Reznor just kind of did all this for them free.
Are you serious?
Which is kind of, I mean, you know, and it's like, you know, those games back then did not have the budget that they do now. I mean, if you get into like the what is that book called? It's like The Masters of Doom, which is about these guys at id Software, like Romero and Carmack, and those guys. It's like they you know, there was not a huge team working on Doom. They did not have like this, like massive staffs like they do now. You know, right. This was back in the day where games were thrown together by, you know, like a single office filled of people, you know, like 10 people, and put together, you know, just based on the sweat of those people, and that's how, I mean, kind of these things came together. So they didn't have a huge budget. And so I'm sure that if they like legitimately needed to pay for Nine Inch Nails to do an entire soundtrack for them, that would cost quite a bit more money than they probably had.
Right. Well, I just wonder how it, happened. Like, I wonder what the relationships were, and I'm sure the information is out there, but I guess I was also reading this guy, Major Mike of GamePro, said that with harsh rock and guitar riffs and creepy low-key synthesizers, the music goes perfectly with each level and thoroughly enhances the overall atmosphere. Writing for Destructoid, Peter Glowowski said, "Not only did it show that the industry was moving beyond being targeted solely at children, but it pushed the action of its game into overdrive."
Into overdrive.
I could heartily agree with that there. I wish we... Yeah, well, anyway. if wishes were horses, then beggars would ride.
I thought that went, if wishes were horses, we'd all be eating steak.
I think we've said this before. I'm having deja vu in the podcast.
Yeah, that's from Firefly.
Okay. Yeah, okay, that's why. That's why. Yeah. Probably watched Firefly recently.
Yeah. Oh, so I mean, kind of how this ties into, you know, we've had soundtracks on the brain because that's kind of all we've been working on, and how this kind of ties in is just, you know, using sound to create an atmosphere.
Awesome.
And like you're hearing, and like we've said, this isn't proper music.
No.
This isn't normally stuff that you would listen to in the car, but it's absolutely right for this game. And the game just screams for like this industrial ambient. Yeah. This industrial ambient sound.
Hey, maybe we should change our voices, because I don't think our voices are too peppy and happy for this episode. Maybe we should start talking
We just want to depress everybody. I'm trying to keep it upbeat to counteract this soundtrack.
No, it's like putting Tang in milk. You thought it was a good idea as a kid, but it turns out it curdles the milk.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Yeah. So, I remember going through these levels with a certain amount of tension. Mm-hmm. and the sound and the level design just really made for a very, very, tense experience and a frightening experience. It's just really, I mean, the game was just, it was just really on point, you know, when it comes to kind of its identity in the gaming world. It's like everything fit together really, really well.
So how can we get our listeners to play Quake? What is the best platform? Do you think GOG has it?
Let's take a look. You know, you really should tell me what questions you're going to ask beforehand.
Hey, Kai, here's a list of questions I'll be asking for the podcast tonight.
I'd appreciate that, yeah.
I'm looking it up right now. Let's see. Yeah, it's there. You can get on.
Yeah, it looks like. And I have not experienced this. Version.
I might actually get it. I don't know.
You know what? Okay, so like the first review, no soundtrack. Wow. So,
just don't get it. So everything we're saying about this is, yeah, don't get it. Wait, hold on.
Is that true? The release does not contain the OSTs. So anyways, I mean, this music is on YouTube, probably just illegally.
Just
play it through the stereo while you're playing, I guess, because that is very much a downer. Is there a release that you can get with the soundtrack? I don't.
This release does contain them, OSTs. As the topic comes up from time to time, I'd like to comment on the existence of the soundtracks for the Quake and Bogusian packs. The release will place 3 CD images in the cube bin format in the installer folder, which do have the soundtrack for Quake. Game.q, Mission Pack 1, Game EA. .cube. Huh. So you can do it, you just gotta fiddle with it. It's kind of saying.
Oh, gotcha. Okay, alright.
You can do it, you can just fiddle with it. I think it's the fourth comment down when you look on GOG. The person explains how to do it. So, yeah. This first guy is, a blunderbust.
Wow. Oh, you know what? We misspoke earlier. Doom, or I did. Doom 2 had come out before Quake. And so Doom 2 would properly be the first 3D rendered first-person shooter. So, so all the stuff I said about how innovative this game is dumb.
But see, it's a good thing that you waited, dear listener, to this part of the episode to find out.
Right.
Otherwise, you'd be misinformed.
And goodness, I'm looking at screenshots right now and just how bright Doom 2 is, compared to Quake. It's like, literally night and day.
Yeah. No. Doom 2 versus Quake is, it's still baloney, man.
Well, you know, and there's like, and it's like, there's so much. I mean, first of all, they had gotten really good at it by then. You know, I mean, you know, id Software, this team had coming off of Doom 2. Doom 2 is just a masterpiece. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And they really had gotten the formula down well. They really knew what they were doing well. And so, you know, that being said, it's like there's a certain amount of expertise that they have coming into it. But also, you know, by darkening things a little bit, you do hide imperfections.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of like when you're dealing with like CGI in movies and stuff. You know, there's a reason that like, you know, the T-Rex in Jurassic Park looks so great, even though it's what 20 years old. It's because there's so much shadow, it hides the imperfections, and they use those shadows really well. And it's the same thing with computer games. You know, them going to like a darker atmosphere, it makes it feel a little bit more real. And
I just did a little comparison thing between.
Oh yeah, it's a huge step forward. It's huge.
Yeah, it's a huge step forward. Yeah, that's crazy. It's crazy. So both Quake and Doom were ID Software.
Yeah.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, yeah. The team that made this, and there's a book about them. I think it's The Masters of Doom. They were just amazing, brilliant designers that teamed up to make this. And Quake was the last one that John Romero took part in. But like I mean, just his experience goes back to Wolfenstein 3D and in through Doom and Doom 2 and Quake. I mean, I'm trying to think. Was Carmack back in that in that era?
I don't know. I don't know.
I'm looking.
You know, another thing. I don't want to jump ahead.
Yeah, Carmack was there for Wolfenstein.
Wow.
They're
basically the fathers of first person shooters. Then.
Oh yeah, for sure. Romero broke off, you know, right after Quake and started his own thing, which has a very, very famous advertisement that y'all can look up later, but it's we'll talk about that one day. These were true pioneers in the FPS field.
So jumping ahead just a couple games. Quake 3. Did you ever play Quake 3?
No, I didn't.
Okay, I just have to say something. It's there's a few internet mysteries left out there, right? And I don't know if this is a legit one or not, but I remember reading this, and it fascinated me because I played Quake 3 quite a bit. Now, Quake 3. I'm looking at it because I was on GOG and I saw Quake 3. Quake 3 was one of the first games that I played a lot multiplayer. I used to go to the computer labs and also we had a little cafe in our town, a computer cafe, which didn't last very long, and we played Quake 3. And I used to run Quake 3 on Linux. I had a Linux hard drive Quake 3 was flipping sweet. Like, it is, and the graphics are amazing, and it's only a few years later, which is crazy because it shows how fast graphics were progressing at this time. But Quake 3 also had this, and I know this is not a Quake 3 episode, but just bear with me one second, I'll tell you this cool little story. Quake 3, it had amazing AI. And so, when you played multiplayer, you could put bots in, and it might have been one of the first games. I mean, maybe it was Half-Life game before Quake 3. I don't know. where you could put bots in and fight bots. So, but these bots that you would fight, they were pretty good. You could change their skill level, right, from like beginner to elite. But I remember reading this internet mystery one time, and I don't know, this might be like an urban legend of the internet, but I'm going to throw it in because we're talking about Quake, and I've always wanted to say this. I read this story one time that this guy had a server at his house, or he ran this computer continually, and he ran Quake 3 on this computer, and it was all bots, like versus bots, and so they're killing the snot out of each other. They're just fighting each other all the time, killing each other for years and years and years. And he forgot about it. Like, he didn't have a monitor attached to it. It was just running all the time. And so he comes back like 10 years later, 15 years later, and is like, oh yeah, I forgot I had Quake 3 running for 15 years on this old computer. Let's see what's going on. So he logs in, gets in the game, and he gets in there, and none of the bots are fighting each other. They're just all standing there. And as he walks by, they look at him, but they don't shoot him or anything. And he's like, this is weird. And so he, like, just out of just instinct, not really thinking that this is ironic or weird because these were elite bots, they should be killing each other constantly over and over again, shoots one of them and kills it. Then they all kill him, and then his hard drive crashes. Everything crashes, and it's gone forever. And it was like, he starts speculating, like, what actually was going on for 10 years? Like, did AI figure out how to become peaceable with each other? Did they override the programming to kill each other? Because the best way to stay alive wasn't to kill each other, but was to live together in harmony. And it was like, this is crazy, but he could never prove any of it or anything because, as he said, quote unquote, like, it all crashed. And it was like the whole system crashed when he shot somebody. They all killed him and then it crashed. And it's like this really weird kind of like internet urban legend mystery that I always was fascinated with, and it derives from Quake 3, and since we're talking about Quake 1, I had to bring it up. Sorry.
Nice.
And the music that we're listening to goes perfectly with that story.
Exactly. So it's impossible for me to edit this episode. It's because then the music will suddenly change.
Well, good thing I told that awesome story, because you can't edit it out now.
Yeah. But this is actually really, I mean, a good thing to turn back to, because we're continually hearing, the atmospheric sounds, industrial sounds. There's a rhythm there.
Right, which is important, because that's like the primal aspect of music, right, is a rhythm. That's kind of all we get, right?
Yeah, and it sounds even like an industrial machine's rhythm. Like, this might be some machine that's running down the hall and through a door.
Or
it could
be the great evil.
What's that?
I said, or it could be like the heartbeat of a great evil.
Right, yeah,
It's organic. There's an organic aspect to this. So
there is, this is, I mean, just there's so much that goes through your head when you're listening to this, and it's mostly about, I don't know what's in the next room,
right?
And that's the absolute brilliance of the soundtrack. And the first time I burned it off the CD and onto my hard drive. I was listening to it in the iPod, and it's like, you know, it's somehow like in the daytime in my car, it just wasn't really feeling it, you know.
But you're like, okay, next let me listen to that the opera.
Right, yeah, let me turn back to Sarah Brightman. But it's like, it's amazingly effective, and it just for the atmosphere of it, the tension of it is just really, really wonderful. And especially us coming off of doing soundtrack work and really learning, you know, what it takes to go into, you know, doing a soundtrack and kind of piecing this thing together and getting the moods right and the tone right, I can really appreciate this this more than ever. Just the pitch perfectness of it all.
Yeah, it's definitely on another level, and it's, you know, ahead of their time. You know, I mean, this is.
Yeah.
I feel like this it's ahead of its time.
Yeah, and this is just the sheer innovativeness of id Software at the time. I mean, they were just, Doom 2 by itself. I mean, goodness, that thing was a juggernaut that everyone played. Everyone played that game.
Right.
And then this coming on the heels of it, where they really stepped it up, and they're like, oh, you like Doom 2? We got Nine Inch Nails, you know? It's fantastic stuff. So, if you've heard a good chunk of the soundtrack in the background, but if you are a fan of first person shooters, and especially like the history of the genre and all, Quake is definitely one that you should check out. It is just a fantastic game, it's a lot of fun, and I put a lot of hours into this one.
Yeah, me too. That's amazing.
All right, well, with that, I think that we're going to head out for today.
And, I don't know, man. I'm feeling sad. This music is. I'm scared to go away from the computer.
Right. I'm pretty sure there's an alien in the other room.
I don't know. I'll say that.
Oh, well, so yeah. We do appreciate you tuning in. Please do, if you haven't found us on Facebook or Twitter, or especially Discord. We have most of our good conversations over in Discord. The link to Discord's down below. Just to Techno Funk Boy everywhere else. Stay tuned. We are releasing that album here very, very, very soon. And so if you are a patron of Dice and Dreary at the music tier, then you're gonna get a copy of that album. We will have it there first. We will have it available for our patrons at the music tier as well, eventually. But it's going to be, you know, at a normal album price on Amazon and in iTunes, and so you'll be able to snag it for less money and get a bunch of bonuses. And the next soundtrack album is actually not that far off, because that chase scene that we were talking about earlier, it was kind of an hour's worth of music in that chase scene. It's going to be its own release. We were expecting it to be like the 15th track of this album coming up, or 14th, I can't remember. But yeah, it was too big for that. And so it's going to have its own release, as soon as we're done polishing that one up. And so it won't be long. So you'll be able to get that one as well. And so, please do check that out at, patreon.com/diceanddreary. And there's I uploaded a lot of videos talking about the soundtrack if you're interested in the music side of things, and so please do check that out, and you'll get that album as soon as it is released. So otherwise, we really do appreciate you tuning in today, and we hope that we will see you next week.
Yeah, if you're not too sad by all this sad music.
But yeah, we should make more upbeat next time.
That's awesome.
Well, last week we did have the soundtrack from Little Samson, which was very upbeat.
Yeah.
And this one is like, this one's very downbeat.
This is kind of to make up for it, yeah.
Right. And so, you know, just listen to them back to back and you'll kind of even out.
Yeah. Sweet.
All right. Well, thank y'all and talk to y'all later.
All right. Later.